Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Hey, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park. You can book daily fee golf at White Clay Creek Country Club, located on the grounds of Delaware Park. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question, do you think Alec Bohm actually touched home plate? A, yes, B, no. Which, by the way, is a different question than do you think replay got the call right or wrong? See, I think replay got the call right because I don't think there was definitive proof that he had not touched home plate, but I don't think he touched home plate, for what it's worth. My answer to the Twitter poll question would be no. I don't think Alec Bohm actually touched home plate, but you can certainly vote for that and call in at 215-592-9494. So many aspects of this series to react to here today on the phone lines. And also this huge Eagles article. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Keith and Ben Salem. Keith, you're on WIP.
How you doing?
Hi, Keith.
Good, Keith.
Joe, I couldn't agree with you more than 1,000,000% right now that he should have been hit. It's not. See, the way it used to be was, you hit the next guy up.
That's the other thing. There's the hit his teammate option, which is another option. And maybe
what happens then when they retaliate and they decide to hit Bryce Harper?
You stand up as a team. You do. Well, you stand up as a team.
But the thing is, I would ask my dad that. I'd say, why do you always hit the next guy, Dad? And he would say, because when that guy gets back in the dugout, he's like, stop being a hot dog.
Yep.
Run the bases. Because now they're hitting me, and it makes dissension on the other team.
See, and Keith, let me give you an example. And you may remember this, and you might not, but 93 Phils, we love them. We know the story, the whole deal. Spring training that year, 92, Dave Hollins had gotten hit a lot. Got hit a lot. He was like Chase Utley. He was one of those guys who would get hit a lot. He was unafraid to get hit. He'd get hit a lot, kind of near the strike zone. So 93, Hollins tells the Phillies pitchers in spring training, if they hit me, you're going to hit them. And the first time it happened, which was in spring training, Tommy Green was the next pitcher in the next half inning. And Tommy Green hit the opposing team. It actually happened to be the pitcher. It was Darren Oliver, the guy that had hit Hollins. And there was a brawl. And those guys talk to this day about, and they felt it then, that brawl brought them together as a team. I can't believe Girardi, who was from that era, like just totally disregard that concept.
I agree 100%. And the other thing is, he's up there. He's got like body armor on this kid.
Yeah,
he's
I hate that too.
His elbow, his arm, his leg, his calf.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's like, so listen, hit the dude. It, like you said, it brings you together.
Yeah.
It's a team sport. It's the only sport where, listen, the pitcher has the ball in his hand. If you're going to be that much of a hot dog after a home run, just remember, the pitcher always has the ball.
Well, listen, Keith, I love your call, obviously. And again, part of my point is intimidation's part of sports. Just is. Just it is. Intimidation's part of sports. People want to, like, you know.
It's not any longer. It has changed. The game has evolved into one that they don't do. What you're talking about happened 25 years ago.
Doesn't happen. You're right. It doesn't happen much. I think it's a shame. Hey, we have to give away today, 215-592-9494, a four-pack of passes to the Adventure Aquarium in Camden, New Jersey. Online reservations are required for all guests. You can visit adventureaquarium.com to reserve yours today. A happy birthday goes out to Shannon Daugherty. She has had some health issues in recent years. Very notable, obviously, actress going back about 30 years ago. I mean, a couple different shows and a couple movies for sure, but primarily known for her time on 90210. And it was only a few seasons into the run of that show that Shannon Daugherty left the show. And I don't even remember all the circumstances, but she went from being a major character on the show to no longer on the show. It's her birthday today. And John, I'm curious from your standpoint, and James and everyone at 215-592-9494. When you think of someone who left a show, it can be because they chose to leave, where they were fired from the show. I'm not talking about a retirement. I want to be clear. I'm not talking about Johnny Carson retires from The Tonight Show. I'm not going there. I'm talking about you got a show, and someone either leaves the show, non-retirement type, or is kicked off the show, essentially fired for whatever reason. Best answer for a notable answer here. The person that comes to the table with that's going to win the 4-pack of passes, the Adventure Aquarium. John, when you think of a notable, hey, person leaves the show, what hit you?
Denise Huxtable.
Yes.
Lisa Bonet.
Yeah.
Not on The Cosby Show anymore.
You're right.
She got her own show, A Different World, and I liked it. But there was something that went down. No more Denise.
Very good answer. Seltzer, someone left the show. Who do you have?
A show we don't talk about enough on this show, and one that I know you like, Joe DiCamera.
Okay.
They did the last season of That 70s Show without Topher Grace. Eric Foreman leaves the show, and you actually continue the show?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he left for the last season, came back for the last episode.
Wow, I don't remember that. I want everyone to think about it here. So many ways to go. Some actor or actress is fired. Some choose to leave on their own. Sometimes in a contract squabble. Sometimes because they get another opportunity for a different show or a movie. Look, think about it. I'll give you one. John, you know I'm watching the show Good Times right now. I'm in season 4. Bottom line is season 4, not as good as seasons 1, 2, and 3 because James Evan's no longer on the show. Mr. Evans, James Evan. That one was a big one. He happened to be fired from the show. Look, hit us up here. Think about it. Who left the show? Also, all right, John, let's get to this Eagles article. Holy smokes. Big article came out this morning from The Athletic about 2 hours ago. The article is entitled Paranoia, Mismanagement, and Office Politics. Inside the Eagles' Downfall Under Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman. The article is written by Shiel Kapadia, Bo Wolf, and Zach Berman, three obviously area guys who cover the Eagles, Bo and Zach specifically on the Eagles beat. Shiel covers the Eagles, but also a national reporter for The Athletic. All three wonderful journalists. You know, they referenced early in the article, they referenced, and I'll just read right from it. It says, over the past 2 months, The Athletic spoke to current and former Eagles staffers representing a cross-section of departments and viewpoints about the inner workings of the franchise. They were granted anonymity to be allowed to speak freely about sensitive topics, describing an environment characterized by second-guessing, paranoia, and a lack of transparency. Now, there is an awful lot in this article, and we're going to try today to detail as much of it for you as possible. It's a very long article, comprehensive, great, great reporting here. John, one of the main things the biggest thing, I guess, that stands out to me overarching issue is more of, because we've heard this, and it's now more of the Jeffrey Lurie over-involvement thing in football operations, how he has sort of run amok. And it is so perplexing that he would feel that he is in, I don't want to say a position, look, he's the owner, he can do what he wants, but that the football ops would be best run with his hands heavy on them, to the point where early in the article, it references how Doug Peterson and Jeffrey Lurie would have Tuesday morning sit-downs, you know, after the Eagles game on Sunday. And 2 years ago, when the Eagles had really one of their better wins since the Super Bowl. If you remember the 2019 season, they had a Week 4 win. They were struggling early. They beat Green Bay in Green Bay. I believe it was a Thursday night. They actually scored 34 points. It was one of Carson Wentz's better games of that season for sure, certainly in the early going of the season. And the Jeffrey Lurie basically, you know, is hammering Doug Peterson about, you know, why didn't you pass the ball more? Why are you running so much? You might remember the Eagles ran the ball a lot that night, but also Wentz played very well. And the article specifically says that,
I think in part because they ran it so much.
Well, it certainly could be. And the article specifically says Lurie, who had long advocated the use of analytics, wanted to know why Peterson hadn't called more passing plays. Mm-hmm. They won the game in Green Bay, scoring 34. And I think part of the reason why Carson played particularly good that night, he actually got some help from the running game, which frankly was kind of rare in recent years. John, your thoughts on this article and everyone at 215-592-9494. So many parts of it. We'll detail it through the show. John, what stands out to you?
The big thing that stands out is we get a name, Alec Hallaby, the Eagles vice president of football operations and strategy, a guy who is considered to be Howie's guy an analytics guy, a friend of Jeffrey Lurie's son from Harvard. So an Ivy League number cruncher type guy who many, you know, according to this article, believe, you know, his stats were sourcing Jeffrey Lurie essentially to go in and question Doug Peterson's decisions after games. When they would have those Tuesday meetings that Jeffrey would go in, he asks a lot of questions.
Yep.
The questions were, in many people's mind, born from the statistics that were coming from this Alec Hallaby guy who, you know, the article reports that at one point Doug Peterson got into like a knockdown drag out with the guy. They were
verbally
butting heads. Yes.
Yeah, verbally.
Yes, butting heads. Everyone knew that they were at odds within that building.
I felt bad for Doug, John, reading this.
Well, there's a quote in there. Someone said they can't believe Doug was able to do what he did, actually win the whole shebang with the level of dysfunction that existed in that building.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's so many parts of this. We'll detail it through the show, and we certainly want your reaction. It's yet another scathing piece that essentially highlights dysfunction within the Eagles and so much of it stemming from Lurie and his over-involvement in football operations. Really disappointing. Not shocking. This isn't shocking anymore. A year ago, it would have been shocking. 3 years ago, it would have been completely shocking. It's no longer shocking. But I'll tell you what, it's bad. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Your reaction on that, your reaction on the Philly series, safe or out at home plate, the Phil's starting pitching, and do you agree with my contention that Joe Girardi really let the Phillies down this weekend by not having a Phillies pitcher either buzz or drill Ronald Acuna after he punked, and he did. He punked Zach Wheeler on Friday night. It was an opportunity to come together as a team, and Joe Girardi missed the moment. Let's go to Joe in Mayfair right now. Joe, you're on WIP.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hope you had a great weekend, and we got a break last night. He still hasn't touched home plate, and the over-the-top view showed that. So if we make the wild card or get in the playoffs by one game, you know, at least Philadelphia can't complain about bad officiating the rest of the year. That's a huge win for us. It could have went the opposite way. So that's a two-game turn.
Yep.
The camera, I normally agree with you. I am an old-school brushback, don't show me up. I don't agree with that in baseball. Mm-hmm. And the Latin American community does a little bit more of the flair. I was a Ruben Sierra fan back in the when he was hot with the Rangers and that whole team when that was allowed more, the hot dogging.
Yep. So does Bryce, by the way, for what it's worth. Not quite that much, but he does a lot.
I'm going to change your mind on this situation. You're forgetting one thing.
Okay.
2020, there was no fans. Mm-hmm. That's the Braves home opener with fans in the seats for the first time in a year. That's not the right time or place. That's their home. That's the first time fans can come see their team. Probably really excited to get revenge on the Phillies in front of their home crowd. That's the moment he's allowed to have.
I don't know, man. To me, I'll sum it up in
two. There's no fans in 2020. I mean, it's the first time you can showboat a little bit in front of your hometown. If that was done at Citizens Bank Park, I agree 100%. You don't do that on our turf.
Well, look, I would say this. Game on. I mean, the schedule's out. It's a game. I understand it's their home opener. Game on. I mean, here's the thing, Joe. There's something to be said for playing. If we're playing, we're playing. But I'll take it a different step. If we're competing, then we're competing.
So compete. Don't go and hit a guy while he's standing there trying to hit a baseball. Like, compete in the real way. Like, go up and step up your game where you can. Not in a cheap, seedy way.
You agree with that, Joe?
To go take out their best player.
I think I give them a mulligan because of what I just said. 2020 was so bad, Joe. You're just forgetting the whole first day of allowing fans back into your ballpark. Allow them to have one day of, okay, let them over-celebrate. He does it again. They do it again to us. Then we'll brush them back. And, if it was done on our home turf, you don't do that on our home field. But that's their home opener with fans, and I was okay with it because I was glad. I was happy to see their fans. I mean, we went through so much last year with fans.
I know.
I was very happy to see fans. And the second thing I want to talk about is Halfrey. You know, I think Jeffrey's been involved after the Chip Kelly disaster, and he's not going to let that happen to his team again. And this has been happening long before, and they struck lightning in a bottle. They won a Super Bowl, and he thinks he's done it. He's been the puppet master of Halfrey since he got the job back. and they hired Doug Peterson, who had nobody thought he was going to get the head coaching job. So if you can connect all the dots, this goes back to then. I mean, was he controlling our defense when we could blitz or not blitz? Because, I mean, was that his idea, having 12 men across the first down strip when it was 3rd and 20? I mean, seriously, how far does it go?
We just don't know what's behind the curtain of Oz, but we know this. There's more going on back there than we thought. Joe, give me what you got. Who left the show?
Oh, the star of the show, Steve Carell in The Office. I mean, the star leaves, and it wasn't the same after that. I mean, he was there for seven seasons out of 10, and he just left and to focus on his movie career in, I think, 2010-11, and definitely Steve Carell from The Office.
Big answer.
Great answer.
Massive answer.
Yeah. So I didn't know that, but I mean, but knowing that that show was a hit and he was the guy, that's a big one.
It's a big one.
And that's going to be a theme with a lot of these. A lot of people leave shows to focus on a movie career. You know, that happens to, you know, a lot of big stars. Gary in Whitehall. Gary, you're on WIP.
Hey, morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Gary.
John, I give you kudos for sitting next to that guy. All right. First and most foremost, can't talk about the depleting Flyers. They're done. Put a fork in them. Have a fire sale. You got a championship-running NBA team right now. Unfortunately, I mean, with Embiid getting hurt, I think they ruined his chances for MVP, but he's still playing like an MVP. Flyers are on a roll. I mean, the Phillies are on a roll. The Eagles, we'll see what happens. But, Joe, how can you say Howie Roseman is having a great off season? You, Julio, and Elliot Joe Parks need to get your heads together.
Well, wow. Gary, if someone else made the same moves, would you think they were disastrous moves, average, or good? I think he's made good moves. Well, he's made some very significant moves. Well, hold on. What moves? I'll answer your question. He traded the quarterback for a third rounder and probably a first rounder, and he traded from the 6th pick in the draft to the 12th pick in the draft and picked up a first rounder. I mean, they're two.
Traded the quarterback, but you're taking the biggest dead cap hit in the history of the
NFL. I understand that.
You traded a quarterback that you gave him top money, who you know, you could have easily waited a year to find out what you actually had, or actually 2 years. You could have tagged him and to see what you have, and so you're not going in this predicament that you're in right now.
Did you want Wentz to be the starter in 2021?
After you picked Jalen Hurts?
No, I'm just asking
what,
you.
What he performed like in 2020? No.
Okay, so you didn't want him to be the starter, but you're advocating they should have kept him?
You could have. I'm saying
you could have.
Given the mass contract, you could have kept him and tagged him for 1 year.
Well, it's not a tag. Tags, you're misusing terms here. He was under contract. But, Gary, look, there's a whole host of aspects here, one of which is the quarterback, Wentz. He didn't want to be here.
And that's a major organizational failure.
I don't disagree that.
That's on Jeffrey.
That's a factor. But, Gary, I think you're looking at it kind of the wrong way here. Who left the show?
I'm going to go with Emmy Rossum.
I'm sorry,
Emmy Rossum, Shameless.
Okay, Shameless. Okay, you got it, man. All right, to Dan in Philadelphia. Dan, you're on WIP.
Gentlemen, how are we today?
Doing well, Dan.
Joe, the Phillies almost won another game against the Braves. If it wasn't for that bad play at second, nobody covering second. So,
It's no one covering second because the infield was drawn in and because Didi moved toward where the ball was hit because he didn't know the pitcher was going to get it. I mean, that was.
But I'm saying without that play, if that play would have worked out, we would have got it with another win.
Wasn't that the go-ahead run? I mean, you don't know that I'm kind of getting confused here. You don't know the Braves definitively wouldn't have won the game.
Well, we lost 5-4.
It was a tie game. They went up 5-4 because the run was scored.
Right. So, Dan, my point is you don't know for sure that the Phillies would have won the game. You're assuming
I get it,
that.
But we're as competitive with them as the downside of what we're talking about. As for the Eagles, Jeffrey Jones, as I want to call him, he's worse than Jerry Jones at this point. What do you say? Like, he thinks he knows the football side of it instead of the football operations.
It seems, John, like it's moving, has moved in that direction. I mean, it's shocking to me. Shocking.
According to this article, yes, it is. It's shocking. It's misguided. These Tuesday meetings where Jeffrey went in and basically scolded Doug, sounds like, for decisions that he made during games. It says a lot that those meetings never took place under Andy Reid's tenure. This is a new deal. This is Jeffrey taking the team back. His idea of taking the team back means that he makes the decisions. He's going to analyze everything, and his analytics staff has as much say in many cases as the coaching staff does. That's a new way of looking at football, and he believes it works. And so he's going to keep doing it, come hell or high water.
Dan, give me someone who left the show.
Ryan Dunkelman from American Idol.
All right, man. You got it, Dan.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
I mean, that's a big one.
Yeah. That resonates with you, James?
Yeah, it was him and Seacrest the first season.
That's right. Yep.
And then this guy, yeah. And then Seacrest becomes a star. This like, poor guy, Brian Dunkelman, is yeah. Nobody.
Was Seacrest
like a cost-cutting measure or something. Yeah. I don't know what it was.
Was Seacrest anything before that?
No, like he was worked around LA and did like radio. I think he had a radio show and stuff like that. But that obviously made him.
Was he like a wannabe Mario Lopez?
I mean, he's way more.
I know he is. I'm saying then, was he a wannabe Mario Lopez?
What Mario Lopez is now, you're talking about?
Well, I mean, Mario Lopez back then, he would bounce around with the different shows.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he was more radio than TV before American Idol.
All right, let's go to Chris right now and skip back. Chris, you're on WIP.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Let me get you off speaker.
You got it, Chris. All right, talk to me. Phil's in Braves. What stood out to you, man?
Well, you, again, gotta say, you are 100% right, once again. Do you ever get tired of being right all the time?
The only thing is I'm so used to it, Chris, that it's like hammer victories on Friday. They become somewhat passe because you just expect it.
I hear you.
But I like your line of thinking, Chris. This is
I can relate.
This is my, you know, this is my guy right here, Chris and Skipack.
Yeah, I'm the president of your fan
brother
club.
Chris.
All right, Chris, talk to me. Do you agree that, I mean, it sounds like you do, that Joe Girardi let the Phillies down here by not going after Acuna after he punked Zach Wheeler?
Yeah, and, you know, I think you make a good point, and here's where your partner is wrong. I don't think you have to hit the Acuna necessarily, but there is some gamesmanship in not letting a guy dig in.
Yep.
As L.A. would say, give him a bow tie. Just, you know, not hitting him in the ear flap, but a little high and tight. Make him push him back a little bit. And
he went 9 for 13. He went 9 for, I think it was 9 for 13 in the series. He was very comfortable. It's amazing to me that something has happened where the concept of intimidation is like sort of frowned upon. I mean, think about it this way. Are we going to get to the point where it becomes inappropriate for a football player to talk trash to another football player in an NFL game?
So completely different.
I mean,
football is a game where intimidation is actually part of every play. Yeah, these pitchers are going to hurt somebody if they decide to throw 100 and it grazes them. And you're saying, hey, let's serve up our guys. Let's serve up Reese and Bryce and Alec Bohm and JT and just say, hey, you know what? Free game. If you hit Acuna, they have every opportunity to retaliate and injure one of our guys.
There's no doubt they have an opportunity. With that said, I think by certainly the old code, they shouldn't, because they got to know they got to eat that because of Acuna's actions. If they choose to do that, then we got to fight. And you know what we have? We have a fight. We have a chance to really be a team. We have a chance to be a team.
That's not what makes you a team.
It can help, John. It can help. Chris, give me someone. Chris, someone who left the show. What do you got?
How about Shelley Long, Diane Chambers?
Big answer right there, man. Chris, appreciate the call. 215-592-9494. Up ahead, more from this article from The Athletic about the dysfunction with the Eagles and Jeffrey Lurie's over-involvement. We'll hit that 11:30 today. We'll talk to Derek Bodner. The 76ers back atop the East in a tie with the Brooklyn Nets, and more up ahead. Trade deadline in the NHL, by the way, 3 o'clock today. We'll be following to see if the Flyers make any moves. They're only 4 points back, but it feels like they're 400 points back with how they've played lately. We'll discuss it all. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.